Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have no choice but to embark on this perilous journey.
Well, well, well. That's watch right. Number one.
That's right. Here we are at our time zone, West City.
No, we're not allowed to say the name of
you. You can walk through, man. It's all good.
Yeah, we're sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just watched Dr. Dolittle for the first time. As forecast... You have to excuse that. We are live in the time zone as advertised.
That's great.
A cinema.
This is Gonzo Film Reviewing.
Unto ourselves.
Mm. 240 seats in that cinema. I counted. And there were two people in there. One was me and the other was Guy Montgomery.
That's right. We are pretty down the line sort of cinematic experience initially. At some point, Tim and I got sick of each other, so I went for a little wander.
You got sick of my banter, but then I just bantered loudly at you from across the cinema.
That's right.
I don't know if cathartic is the right word, but satisfying to just be able to bellow rude shit across an entire 240-seat cinema.
That's
that
right.
You haven't spent money to... We paid $11 for these tickets because it's a Monday, and we got the whole cinema to ourselves.
It was so satisfying.
Almost good enough to justify watching the film,
You can hoop and holler. You can make inappropriate jokes at inappropriate times about inappropriate moments... without fear of retribution, either that you feel within yourself, like what you might describe as shame, or from those around you. The movie itself, which
I
we'll
think
get
it
to.
Speaks to the film that we are not talking about.
Well, we will address it, but just it's a fun, what was sort of, you know, it was hanging over me as quite a long Monday, is already quite a fun day.
Yeah, I really like this is the thing about going to the movies. You can't get away from the fact that you're just in a nice dark room for a bit.
And
for like 2 hours and you don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They regulate the temperature.
Yeah.
So it's just about pitch perfect. I always take a sweater myself when I go to the cinema. I just don't like to get a little bit too cold.
You don't want to take the risk.
Well, they can be colder
I've
than you
think.
I've
been in the odd cinema that has been too cold. I went and saw, I think it was Rogue One, and the air conditioning broke, and it was a packed cinema, and it was very sweaty.
Too hot.
Too hot.
That's more of a rarity to my eyes.
So those are two things that can go wrong when you go to the movies. The other thing that can go wrong is sometimes the movie's bad.
That's right. And sometimes you do know this... Or you expect this, sometimes you don't.
Yes.
In this instance, I think we were somewhat expecting the movie to be bad.
Yeah.
And in that respect, the movie delivered.
You're damn right. We had expectations going in and they were met. Well done, everyone involved.
This movie
was very confusingly bad. It actually started off very well, I thought. Very well indeed.
Yeah, really strong, efficient storytelling. The opening gambit is animated in sort of an old-timey cartoon book style.
Like an old Disney, sort of a like Cinderella Disney style.
And you've got
style.
The fantastic sounds of Emma Thompson narrating over the footage as she very neatly sets up the story. What we have is Dr. Dolittle, as portrayed by Robert Downey Jr., cartoon of
He's
Dr.
smart.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. He can talk to animals. He fell in love. The woman died at sea. And that's it.
And so he could talk to animals. And
they tried to do Up.
Initially,
They got pretty close.
Up worked so much harder than this.
Oh, of course it
Up
did.
Up essentially laid out a 6 to 7 minute short film at the top of itself.
Which was the entirety of human life.
Dr. Dolittle probably made an entire movie, realized that they hadn't established why everything that was happening, and then wrote a 2 minute short story to begin it.
That 2 minute short was good, and I liked it. And then as soon as we crashed into... live action filming, real life, I was like, put me back in the cartoon.
Yeah, you felt was robbed.
Cool.
Just quickly before we move on to the actual story, an important detail within
we don't need to move on to the story.
The animated opening is that so the Lily Doolittle, which was his wife's name, and Dr. Doolittle, Dr. John Doolittle, they set up a sort of a large scale, what would you call it, a refuge,
like a sanctuary.
Or a sanctuary, an animal sanctuary. So they'd accept all animals, they would come and visit them and they could heal them, they could live there safely and happily. And at the death of his wife, his beloved, John Doolittle becomes this sort of eccentric recluse who no longer accepts new patients, he will no longer talk to people.
He's let himself go, he's got a long beard, his hair is scraggly and unkempt, he wears clothes that are terrible. And there's a pretty, so in the cartoon, there's a scene where it has, very similar again to Cinderella, all of the animals dressing Dr. Doolittle, like putting his coat on, getting him ready to go into surgery.
Is it Cinderella? It's Snow White, isn't it?
Snow White, sorry, you did right.
Come on, brother.
I know. Fuck.
This is the big time. Are you
gonna
go,
I'm
there
blowing it.
Out the wrong Disney movie?
I'm blowing it here. We only get one shot to film in the time zone.
Hopefully we get two more.
No, I don't know. I don't know how comfortable they are with us being here, to be honest. But luckily for us, this entire Cineplex is empty.
That's right. Sometimes it's good to be in New Zealand.
So in the real, when we cut to the real life one, then they do the getting his clothes on scene again. And I was like, they're just doing Iron Man, but a shit version of it.
They really were. And that sort of rings
it's,
even...
You know, it's like the hand goes into the glove, the foot goes into the boot, the animals are resisting. It's like, this
Which
is
echoes
shitty
of
Iron
insanity
Man.
Considering that Downey Jr. has just walked free of this franchise.
Absolutely.
And it's sort of, everything remains somewhat on track, though. They introduced CGI pretty early. Before we actually get to see Doolittle in the real world, we watch this young boy and his family, his dad portrayed by Chris Finch of The Office fame.
Finchy! Squeal, biggie, squeal.
Disgusting man. And the first CGI animal we see, because CGI plays a huge role in this film, is...
CGI is the main actor in this movie.
Is a
Biggest
little
star.
Squirrel
yes.
in a tree. And as soon as we saw the squirrel, you said CGI is obsessed... What did you say?
Oh, I said that digital effects artists are obsessed with digital fur technology now. We are getting not just films, but entire franchises being lifted on the sails of digital fur technology. Everyone in Hollywood right now who works at a studio is sitting on a big pile of money like Smaug, and they're going, get me the most accurate digital fur technology. Everyone's obsessed with these little hairs and the fact that we can do them on a computer now. And what is it all for? Cats? This? It's a bad idea. And we need to stop looking for excuses to do digital fur technology.
Do you know how long
it's a fucking cult, man. You know, Eyes Wide Shut was supposed to be an allusion to this underground cult, that is sex cult that happens in Hollywood. I think that exists and it's turned into this church of digital fur technology.
You think it's a sort of more platonic, fur-oriented cult?
Ironically, you want to know who's to blame? Probably Sir Peter Jackson, a New Zealander, for kicking off this whole fucking big old boner for computer digital effects and cinema again.
Well, anyway, we...
You know who was good? Spielberg. He knew how to use a puppet.
Was E.T. a puppet?
E.T. was a puppet. You better believe it.
Jaws?
Yep.
No way was Jaws a puppet.
Jaws was a fucking puppet. It was the 80s, man.
It was the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe. There you go. What were they going to make it on, a Commodore 64? I think not.
I always get scared. I always shake in my boots when I veer into technological conversations with you. You all-knowing, so, all-seeing freak of nature.
So this...
this young boy is hunting with his parents, or his dad and his brother, or his uncle and his cousin, or some bizarre combination of family that is vaguely alluded to but never properly illuminated. And he loves animals to the point that he hates the hunting.
Yeah.
And when he's meant to shoot at the ducks, he deliberately pulls the gun away and shoots into the air, accidentally in doing so, clipping the aforementioned squirrel, who he then feels terrible about.
It's pretty hard out, actually, because this little boy sets up how much he doesn't want to hurt animals, and his dad's like, we hunt, it's who we are, we shoot birds and shit. And so we've got this big dramatic scene, and he's like shaking in his boots, lining up the shot, he throws it to the side and shoots, and then all we've got the wide shot of all the ducks flying away. It's like, great, all the animals are safe, the boy did a good job.
Yeah.
And then he fully nailed the squirrel.
Yeah, and to be fair, he's a hot and cold actor, this young kid, and I don't want to be criticising anyone, you know, under my own age. Or, no, to be fair, under 18, I think, but the guy has no control over whether or not he's doing a good job or a bad job. In this instance, he does a good job of conveying remorse
of
and feeling badly.
Of all the things we could be talking about, I don't want to take pop shots at this young buck's acting chops.
Well, he does a better job eventually than the young girl who he winds up acting opposite. I thought she was brutal.
She was also about 13 or 14.
She got cast in a high-budget Dr. Dolittle franchise film.
They're in a movie. They're good.
You're in a movie, you act.
We know they've got the good. It's like, trust them. It's good. You want to take pop shots at anyone? Let's talk about Robert Downey Jr. for 30 minutes.
Well, here's a guy who shows up to work and experiments with the way a human voice can sound every single second of the day.
Good God.
I feel like he has too much power. That is what I feel like.
You know when there's kind of that meme of going to KFC and you like hold up a chicken nugget and a picture of a chicken, you go point to the bit of the chicken where this is from. I want to hold up a global map and get Robert Downey Jr. to point to where his regional accent is from.
I feel like he doesn't have enough fingers on his hands. The guy is literally taking from everywhere, and I respect it.
I can only describe it as Mrs. Doubtfire at like 70% effort.
No one.
But then Jamaican as well.
No one had the confidence to tell him to do one voice.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't help but think he showed up and everyone thought, wow, it's Robert Downey Jr. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You don't tell, you don't direct Robert Downey Jr. I'm going to concentrate on these kids and let Robert Downey Jr. do what Robert Downey Jr. does.
This is the good thing about Disney, the mouse's house, the iron mouse curtain grabbing these Marvel films, because you don't fuck with Disney. Disney's got balls. They get directors who come in and swing their dicks around, and they don't get intimidated by the likes of Robert Downey Jr. with their crazy voice ideas.
Yeah.
They lay down the law. They say, this is what Iron Man sounds like.
It makes for more... Oh, you can walk through. It's okay. Thank you. They make more consistently, serviceable films, or films that meet a certain... Like, their floor is lower, but their ceiling is also lower. Like, it's more exciting to see... It becomes exhausting, of course, because you don't understand half what the guy's saying.
Absolutely
but
not.
But it's more interesting to see him doing that than just that sort of wisecracking.
It's also very difficult to figure out, there's backstory alluded to in this, and I feel like if we knew where he was from, is it Liverpool? Is it Scotland?
They reference the University of Edinburgh.
That's right.
I think to ask anyone to tell us exactly where his voice is from is asking too much of that person.
Yeah.
I will say, growing up, I remember there was a tattered copy of Dr. Dolittle in a bookcase in my house.
Yeah.
And you're right. And that was not to myself, by the way, for those of you listening along.
We're just sort of letting
people know that they can enter the toilet, which is located directly behind the camera.
We have positioned ourselves in... a fantastic location.
What would be described as a main thoroughfare if there were more than four people in the cinema. It's like, I think this speaks a lot to the era and location of the film. Like, it looked sort of...
Oh, yeah, because when are we? It was like...
I think it feels like 19th century.
So the houses look like the 1600s.
No, I think it's a little bit later than that. Yeah, they're all... I quite like again, and I feel like we always come back to this when we're talking about these high-budget films that are sort of storytelling failures, but set art department, set dressers, costuming, I mean, they all had a lot of fun. They got given big paychecks. They were like, this is where we tell our story.
Yeah.
And they did. It was a very sumptuous film.
You use that word.
It's a fucking nice word. Say it.
Sumptuous.
Yeah, how do you spell it?
S-U-M-P... Don't know. I
go T-U-O-U-S. You know one of those W's?
Yeah. Double U's.
Like where it's got a U and then an O and then another U.
Yeah.
Sumptuous.
Sumptuous.
Anyway, they've done a fantastic job and you can't take that away from them.
Like, you can't take that away from them, Robert Downey Jr. Though you might.
The rest of the film, it's not irrelevant, but it's like...
No, it is, I think. This is a costume film. This film, I feel like they really were making a play to set this up for a franchise, because there is basically the cinema going experience for Guy and I was hearing an animal, of which there's about 20, and going,
who's that?
James Corden, Emma Thompson, who else?
Yeah, for reference, James Corden
Tiffany
is actually not in the film, but he was in the trailer for Peter Rabbit, and he was in the trailer for the new Trolls film, hopefully alongside the McElroy brothers. I thought it was Tiffany Haddish.
No,
that Trolls movie,
that's World Tour. I think they're in Trolls 2.
Which is already out.
Yeah, I think it happened.
I haven't done the research.
Me neither. I really should. I should know that.
It was not Tiffany Haddish who voiced the goose.
Oh.
It was Octavia Spencer.
Oh, shit.
Having a whale of a time.
Yeah, fucking A. Everyone was having fun on there.
Yeah, I actually would love to get up some of the other cast members because...
People did a good job. Kumail Nanjiani was there.
He had a lot of fun. Rami Malek was Chi-Chi, who is the gorilla.
Oh!
Emma Thompson.
I was trying to place him the whole time. That would never have occurred to me.
Polly the parrot. John Cena was the voice of Yoshi, the polar bear. Kumail Nanjiani was Plimpton, the ostrich.
Uh-huh.
Octavia Spencer was Dab Dab, who I assume is the goose.
Yeah.
Tom Holland.
Just hold your mic a little because the cable's coming in and out. There we go.
Unreliable cable. Was Jip, who I don't remember who that was.
Jip, I don't know, man.
Craig Robinson was the squirrel, who he had a sort of almost comic. A lot of these actors had almost comic turns. What were the reliable laughs that you got out of the movie? There were a few. Sprinkled amongst it, there were a few laughs to be had.
I
don't
remember. There was. I laughed like twice. I have a funny feeling Antonio Banderas said something funny, but I can't remember what it was. Didn't write it down either. You better believe
I wrote
I didn't
a few
write
of them
down.
Oh, yeah? I thought that something smells wrong. The dog says this. Something smells wrong.
And that's coming from someone who loves butts. Loves sniffing butts.
Loves the smell of butts.
Yeah. And then
that's a movie that knows what it is, who it's for, and there are flashes of this amongst what is otherwise.
Robert Downey Jr. can't let whoever says that have the line and goes, "You do like butts."
Yeah.
It's like, just
Robert Downey Jr. steamrolls anyone else having a good time.
Anyone having a shot at a laugh or a moment, Robert Downey Jr. will kick down the door
and
interrupt proceedings.
Do you think that the trailer represents the movie we just saw?
No. Fuck, man, let me say this. I don't think the movie we saw represents the movie we saw. Confused?
Somewhat.
Something about the pacing and the editing and the hint at scenes that you see 10 seconds of, which you know went for minutes, it's very weirdly put together, and then it just kind of ends out of nowhere. I can't really articulate it, but the rhythm of the film didn't work at all, and the pacing's really weird, and I just constantly, things were just happening, nothing mattered, and then it just ended. The boy, for example. So at the start of the movie, you're like, okay, a lot of this movie is going to be about the boy. It's going to be a romance story between the boy and, for some reason, she's not a princess, even though she's
Rose.
Lady Rose, who's the daughter of the queen, reigning queen of England, who has fallen ill from poison. Actually, the whole plot of the movie is Doolittle's got to find the antidote for the poison for the queen.
And the queen has been poisoned by
an advisor,
a cunning advisor who's next in line for the throne. And the clarity of that story and the very plainly painted villains within it is to be commended.
Yeah, because it's a kids' movie.
Yeah, which Cats was not, for the record.
Well, it depends who you ask. So we spend a lot of time with the kid up front. He's the first character we see on screen. We're like, it's the kid. It's all about the kid. I even hazarded that the kid was going to gain the gift of speaking to animals to the point that Doolittle has it, which sort of happens, but not in a magical way. He just kind of academically learns it as the movie progresses to set it up for a sequel where he grabs the reins, like Spider-Man and Iron Man.
Suggested that there is a magical quality to being able to speak to animals. Like he
sort of learns it scholastically.
But Polly sort of pegs him and says to him, "You're special in a way that no one else is."
I felt like there was a bit of a tease though, because then he goes, "Oh my god, I can talk to animals. I'm doing it right now." And she's like, "No, I'm a parrot that can speak English. I'm the shit."
I know, but then he winds up talking to the other animals. Doolittle.
It feels like there's kind of a magical quality to it. Like he's so articulate with the animals.
It takes so much effort to look effortless. And also, these motherfuckers should meet Eliza Thornberry if they think they're the only people with that ability in the world.
The point I was trying to make was,
and between you and me, something amazing happened.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's all set up for us to spend time with the kid whose name I do not recall. But then
Stubbins,
as soon as Robert Downey Jr. kicks down the door, it's the Robert Downey Jr. show, and he is going to be the smuggest, most selfish actor that's ever been on a screen. And to be honest, it's kind of what this role required, because it's so weird and flamboyant. It's very similar to Johnny Depp's role in the Pirates franchise, to the point where I was like, I think this is just an audition tape for him to take Johnny Depp's role in Pirates now that Johnny Depp's cancelled,
what?
Pending further investigation by the public at large. Jesus, the machine's doing
It's
something.
A giant claw machine.
Why is it vibrating?
Firing like itself up.
Oh my God.
And this claw is giant, by the way. For those of you who cannot see, which I imagine is everyone, we're talking about a claw that would be 4 to 5 times the size of the claw in the Toy Story franchise.
It could pick up my head, my whole head. Danny, it's called the giant claw.
Yeah, Downey Jr., Jack Sparrow, sorry, and at least his voice was consistent throughout the film.
You're a good man. It's a G. Thanks. Like, I guess you put him in a movie because you want to see him, right?
Yes.
But then you want to see other stuff too. You want to see a movie.
Yes.
So this doesn't have that. This is just him doing the strangest accent. It's so weird.
It's kind of fun. He sort of goes,
it's not.
It's okay to be scared.
It's fun for him.
It's fun for
Maybe
him.
It's fun for you because I would have fun.
Do you know what it feels like to
this?
Me? It feels like he showed up on the first day of set and he was excited. He was free. He had a lot of creative power. He could do what he wanted. And he did this voice and it came out and he wasn't totally in control of it. He hadn't thought about it. He's like, I'm a good actor.
Yeah.
This is a big budget franchise. There's nothing to worry about here. I can show up. I can have a bit of fun. I can be myself. I'm no longer under the iron curtain of Disney. Let's have a party.
Right.
And he started doing the voice, and the voice sort of got away from him, and he was like, okay. And then he showed up the next day. He's like, well, I'll just steady the ship. I'll get the voice consistent on the second day. And then once I've got that going, you know, I'll settle into the rhythm. And he didn't quite get it. And then it was the third day, the same thing happened. And then after 3 days, he was like, we've already got
what would be
5 to 10 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
I'm in over my head here. I've not yet got the voice. No one on set has the authority or the confidence to tell me to rein it in.
So this is it.
So he had probably quite a long time working where he was just like, fuck. It's like the only thing I can say it to is if you're trying out a new joke that involves a voice or if you've ever been in a scene on stage where that involves a voice. And
once you start.
You're swinging massively. And you're like, here I am. Yeah. Here's the voice. Here's the character.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take. And then, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, and you're like, someone's got to come and bail me out. Dude, no, if you're Robert Downey Jr. And the lead in the new Doolittle franchise.
Because there's no other adults that are there with him the whole time. The villain comes and goes a bit.
Michael Sheen.
Antonio.
A very enjoyable comic turn, actually. I thought he was a fantastic pantomime-style villain.
Yeah, he's good.
Also got a good laugh from me when Robert Downey Jr., they're on boats. At one point, they're racing to some archipelago. And that's where the antidote, which is contained within this Tree of Eden, which can only be found using the research of Lily Doolittle, who was dead at sea at the start of the movie. They're sort of racing out there, and Doolittle's on his way early, and then Michael Sheen catches up, and the idea is he's going to destroy him so that he can't go back and save the Queen in time. And he sort of sees him through his, what's it called when you've got one? Telescope?
Monoscope?
No.
Telescope.
Uniculars?
What is called a telescope?
Telescope. And he sees Michael Sheen. He goes, oh, there he is, that chinless freak. And then Michael Sheen sees him, his lips move, and he goes, did he say something about my chin? He said something about my chin. And then his henchman next to him goes, it's a fantastic chin, sir, or something.
Now that dude, the lieutenant, fucking good.
He was funny, yeah.
He had like 3 lines and he knocked it out of the park.
I reckon they picked him up off a stage in London being
funny.
No,
I've seen him and stuff. We'll look this time. We'll figure it out. We got 2 more runs at this.
But I thought Michael Sheen sort of comedic performance.
He did what he was there to do.
You accurately said that this is a lot of hard work for everyone involved delivering this script.
Oh my God, because he got some real dungers in there that he had to say out loud. He was very sorry for good actors when they get delivered some shit. It's just like, you have to say that out loud?
Nah, man. Look at their bank accounts.
Yeah, it's
what
true.
Do you reckon Michael Sheen got for that role? $5 million?
Is he at that level, do you reckon? $5 million seems high.
I honestly don't know how much actors get paid.
Me neither. Maybe a,
what did Danny Junior get? $20 million
Yeah, I reckon.
Because it had so much money. That is so much money.
How much money did this movie cost? Do we know? Can you Google that?
We can.
You got to go through it though a little bit. Now, look, I'll grant you, winding up with $4 million in your pocket is a lot, but like. When you go, the actor got paid $20 million, right? How much do they get in their pocket?
Oh, yeah. Let's all take a moment to feel bad for Robert Downey Jr.
And the other millionaires in Hollywood,
guys. That's right.
They've had it tough.
It's tough.
What
sometimes
with all the tax
people,
breaks?
People
the...
will watch their movies and discuss them in unflattering terms after the fact. the budget was full. Oh, my God.
God.
So Cats was $100 million.
Yeah, was it $60 million?
Where do you think this one sits?
60. Oh, no, less than that. 50 mil. 60 mil? North of 60, 70, 100? North of 100, north of Cats. 120. 130? 150? How much was that?
It was $175 million to make this movie.
Oh, no.
And to be fair, they've made back 150 out of them.
Have they?
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you do that with this movie,
people,
man?
Love... Oh, Danny Elfman did the music of Simpsons fame.
Oh, true. He's done lots of movies.
I don't know. I don't know where the money comes back.
Fuck, man.
I'm sorry. I'm deep in the Wikipedia page.
I've lost you to the wiki, which is fine. If you want to check out Robert Downey Jr.'s voice in this, you can just watch the trailer and it's pretty on display for the "It's okay to be scared."
No, I think to truly absorb just how insane the decisions he made are, you do need to watch the whole thing, which is not something I'd ordinarily recommend. And don't go to the cinema for this.
Let's talk about that, actually.
This will be remembered as one of the worst movies of the year, undoubtedly.
Going to the cinema for this, kind of a treat. Having the whole cinema to ourselves was so nice.
Yeah.
It was fucking great.
Well, as
when
we discussed,
do you get,
we're
like,
welcoming people into our lounge for this next screening, I think.
Essentially, that's what we had, right? It was like our room... Imagine having your own big cinema at home. That's what this was like.
Do you know what you need to do? Start a $175 million movie.
And then I
can
do that.
Get yourself a paycheck.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You've got a projector.
It broke a year and a half ago. I never got it fixed.
I'm sorry for that.
No, that's okay.
Were
you saying sorry to me or sorry to the people walking past the camera?
I was saying sorry to you and your projector woes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the next screen is at 12:50 p.m., which is a slightly more social hour. I am not looking forward to it.
Who's the flick for, guy? Because, like, who are we expecting to turn up for this? Like, it's a kids' movie, right?
Yeah,
parents, which is why it was something that when we started getting into it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a kids' movie.
8 to 12 years old.
It feels mean to...
And their parents.
...to, like, give the worst idea treatment to a legitimate children's film. That seems silly.
Well, do you know the beauty of it is... It's impossible to gauge if there's no one else in the cinema. At that point, the movie is just for us.
Okay, so the first one's free. It's a free hit.
Yeah. I would just like to say, while I remember quickly, that the Robert Downey Jr. information I had was a friend of mine did the junket for Doolittle.
Explain what a junket is to the people.
A junket is sort of like, you know, like you see all those talking heads interviews where actors talk about their roles, and there's often one or two of them in the room, and they're sort of going, oh, we had a good time on set, whatever, and they get asked the same inane set of questions by about 70 to 80 journalists
in
3 hours in a hotel room in a day.
It must be horrible, right?
It's exhausting. There was an old meme of Ben Affleck on his Batman tour with a slow zoom in where there was a moment where he truly let himself feel how he was actually feeling, and it is one of the most forlorn gazes I've seen in all my years.
Oh, God.
But Robert Downey Jr. is, before he enters any room, it must be set at, I believe, 78 degrees Fahrenheit. This is the amount of power that this man now has. And a lot of the actors, Michael Sheen and whatnot, were asked... Because I guess...
Wait, sorry, you were saying? A lot of the other actors got asked what the deal is with Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
And his temperature-controlling maniacal ego.
Not the temperature control, but they said, you know, it's incredible to think just how political language is and like the way that you can get around saying what really happened. But they're like, you know, it was a really interesting experience on set. There were a lot of, you know, it was a really... exciting and challenging story to bring to life. And like, you know, all of these words which sound positive, but if you read between the lines, people are saying this was a fucking disaster.
This is terrible.
From woe to go. But no, Downey Jr. also for his, and this is how he knew it was going to be a bomb and a pretty cunning PR workaround. All of his interviews around Doolittle were to be done by children. He didn't let any independent thinking adults interview him about the film, which I think is...
That is genius!
It's pretty good, eh?
Holy shit. That is some Tony Stark evil genius shit.
How do you get away with explaining why you spent $175 million on experimenting with your voice? You get kids to ask you about it.
Realistically, he was just thrown into the digital fur technology pot. He saw an opportunity and he exploited it.
He
to
chooses
his
opportunities.
That is so smart, though. Good on him.
Yeah.
Massively good on him. I think the Hollywood filmmaking industry needs to stop being so precious and pretending like filmmaking is easy and a rose walk and that everyone's nice. And they should do real honest interviews after the fact so we can appreciate the hard work and dedication that goes into making these things. I want to see interviews. Maybe this is a bit worst idea, Khaled, but I want to see interviews not with the stars. I want to talk to craft services. I want to talk to costume.
The people
you
who
know
actually know what it was like.
Fucking hair and makeup. They know everyone's secrets.
They really do.
If we could get them in front of some e-news journalists, now we've got a product. Now we've got something I want to see. Don't give me your fucking junket. Your junket's something you're trying to give to me. I want to hear from the hair and makeup person.
These are the people who we could probably access if we so chose. I guess they don't want to be chased out of Hollywood.
They're all NDA'd up the way, I would assume. But like, it could be a whole other... I mean, you get two films out of it. If it was a total shit show making Doolittle, you make Doolittle, you put it out, you wait 12 months, because these movies
and
don't really have a shelf
life.
You make the making of.
Well, Rebel Wilson is the first person I saw to publicly, loudly distance themselves or like make fun of Cats at the British Actors...
BAFTAs?
Yeah, something like that, where she said she's half...
The British-American Fire Tobacco Awards.
Yeah. Big Tobacco getting behind film finally. I'll say that. But she said half her dress was some event from Australia, and the other half was she'd been at a funeral for the movie Cats. And
that's
I like
nice.
You know, there is a grace period after a movie that you've been involved in, and a lot of people have worked hard on, where it is rude and disrespectful and unprofessional to shit on it. But I don't know what that grace period is, and the point at which you can say, I guess the end of the cinema release, maybe.
The thing with Rebel Wilson is, I don't think. Well, I guess she had some big scenes, actually. She worked hard, but, you know, she wasn't at the level of, like, the lead. Whose name I've already forgot.
Francesca
Hayward.
Hayward.
Nice. I don't think she worked hard. Who? Rebel Wilson?
Yeah. As Jenny Anydot.
For her scene, she had to, like, learn the choreography and shit.
You're on the record as saying she did not bring it.
No, she didn't do a good job. I'm just saying she tried hard. So it's like, you know... The thing that you're saying about being disrespectful about the film in the wake of it, it's like she had some investment in this, in Cats. We're not talking about Cats, we're talking about Doolittle.
Unless they've got producer credits or they're getting a cut of the box office, I reckon once you're out of there, hang as much shit on it as you like.
Does Robert Downey Jr. produce, or does he just act?
A woman named Susan Downey is listed as a producer.
That's his wife.
Well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure that's his wife.
You are
wife.
Correct. So she produces. Downey Jr. is not listed as a producer.
Uh-huh.
He gets top billing as the star, and rightly so. Second billing, Robert Downey Jr.'s voice box. Worked overtime on this thing. Do you know, a lot of people say it's impossible to act in a movie where you do all of the accents in the world. And Robert Downey Jr. said, technically, yes, but not if I do them all at the same time. It's
kind of worth seeing for the voice, isn't
it? It's rude and wrong to do accents from countries you've not been to and, you know, mimic experiences of people you have not met. But if you bury them underneath layers of accents that you are familiar with, all of a sudden we're dealing with something else.
You know what's happened? We let him get away with Tropic Thunder into blackface with no consequences, and now he is drunk with power. Yeah. He thinks he can do anything.
It's the same thing as my dream of having a button on your Spotify that plays all of the songs you like at the same time, just to test the theory as to whether or not that would make for a better song. I like all these songs individually. Why wouldn't I like them together? That's Robert Downey Jr. with accents.
It seems like the audio equivalent of, I like cake, so what if I eat all the ingredients? I'll just eat a cup of flour, crack a raw egg into my mouth.
No, it's more like I'll put all of the ingredients for 10 different style of cakes in the bowl and make it one big cake.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that cake tastes like
yet.
That's
true. It'd be a big cake.
We know
cake.
What it sounds like.
It'd be big. And this movie's big.
It sounds confusing.
Yeah, it's big and confusing, which this movie is both of those things. How long have we got to the next
screening? It's actually 12:45.
We're all right. We're all right for a bit. Hey, how do you feel about seeing this movie another couple of times?
Honestly, I think...
I'm fine with it, eh? This thing, it doesn't... It's not too long.
This next screening will be okay. The reason I'm looking at my watch is because I really want to get a coffee before it.
Oh, God, that'd be good.
I want to set ourselves up for it. I think... Yeah. The next watch will be fine. The third watch will be harder. And
I'm really disappointed we're not doing the four. I'm sorry about that. I fucked
honestly,
that.
Honestly, don't sweat it. It's a small mercy. I might stick around.
Oh, should I leave the gear with you?
No.
See what you do.
Even to say it. The idea of it is funny. It's the same thing as going to Cats by myself the next day. By the time you get to that moment,
yeah,
it's like I feel like we're already doing enough to research.
You want my honest opinion? I think you should stick around and see the movie again.
Easy for you to say, Mr. I've got to go to work. Is this not work? Do we not work?
That's why this is... I think we're just so great. What are you looking... Oh, you're looking at the timer?
I'm looking at your balls.
We've been talking for like 35 minutes. It's nice to just be in a cinema with your pal. Like, this is just time. It's a holiday, isn't it? So it's hard to get too depressed and downtrodden and worked up about it. It's just funny to see so much money fail, but then apparently not. I'm
kind
confused
of fail.
That it's making money.
I mean, in Hollywood, if you break even...
Something's gone wrong.
Does that constitute a failure still? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
If you spend $175 million, you expect to make twice that back, I imagine,
right? I
reckon,
yeah.
Big gamble, big payoff. High risk, high reward filmmaking.
What's next for Digital Fur Technology?
I understand that they're going to re-rub the 98 Dr. Dolittle with Eddie Murphy. I wouldn't mind seeing that franchise come back to life.
So
I would love it.
Oh, wait, are you serious?
No.
Okay.
I would love it if they were playing, I mean, it would literally only be for us, but yes. If they went Dolittle 2020, Dolittle 1998, Dolittle 2020, Dolittle 1998.
What do you mean? They put that on at the cinema?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice. Should we watch the Eddie Murphy Dolittle at some point?
When we have the time.
Yeah.
I got nothing left to say on this watch, Tim.
Neither do I. 2 out of 5. Dolittle.
There's a dragon in this movie.
We've no choice but to embark on this perilous journey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.